Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hitchcock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called Household of God. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 16 to 22. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Verse 17. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. Verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. Verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Verse 21, in whom all the foundation fitly framed together grows unto an holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The word household in Strong's is number 3609. It comes from another word meaning domestic, but also means a relative, adherent to, those of his own household. All have sinned and have fallen short of his glory. Romans 3 and 23. Do not get left outside, as only those that have adhered themselves to conviction and correction are in his household now. Hebrews 12 and verse 8. The Jews were closer than the Gentiles. However, when they killed the Messiah, it proved that the Jews were using their minds to come to the truth and had become completely corrupt. The Jews had the law but did not want to learn through conviction and correction. Since Jesus died, everyone who wants to be part of what God is building now has to have the right foundation. The household of God includes, number one, the apostles, who without a natural education left everything to follow Christ when he came the first time and were given ears to hear while others were still using natural discernment. Two, holy prophets prepared to tell the people the truth and not keep quiet in the face of severe persecution. Number three, Jesus, the Son of God, who submitted himself to the Father and became the Lamb of God willingly and opened not his mouth when he was condemned. Does this crowd make you feel uncomfortable or out of place? Where do you fit in? Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Jesus is the head of the church, and as fellow citizens and saints, you must also respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit immediately for him to dwell in you and not just call Jesus Lord. Matthew 7, verse 21. Jesus is not building his church with human hands or earthly wisdom. Matthew 16, verse 18. Your flesh will never feel comfortable in his house because it cannot please God. Romans 8 and verse 8. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1 verses 16 to 18. This is in the book of Colossians chapter 1. I'm reading verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14 and verse 6. He never did anything without first hearing from his Father, and he never consulted his own will either. John 5 and verse 30. Even now he's submitted to the Father's plan to bring in the harvest. Up to now, as a servant of God, I've only needed ears to hear and grace to obey, to stay hot. Many wait for revival, but it never happens because they will not deny themselves consistently and take up their cross daily. Luke 9 and verse 23. In one of his sermons, Charles Finney said, "By all means, keep clear of the idea, both in theory and practice, that a minister is to promote revivals alone. Many people are inclined to take a passive attitude on this subject and feel as if they have nothing to do. They have employed a minister and paid him to feed them with instruction and comfort, and now they have nothing to do but to sit and swallow the food he gives. They are to pay his salary and attend on his preaching, and they think that is doing a great deal. And he, on his part, is expected to preach good, sound, comfortable doctrine, to bolster them up and make them feel comfortable. And so they expect to go to heaven. I tell you, they will go to hell if this is their religion. This is not the way to heaven. Christianity is not just another religion. Jesus gave everyone that responded to conviction and repented direct access to God themselves by the Holy Spirit. Do you still rely on a pastor? Or is it the Holy Spirit that confirms what you do or don't do in complicated situations? Have you repented of dead works or just bad works? Hebrews 6 and verse 1. Jesus created things both visible and invisible for anyone to recognize by the Spirit bearing witness in them. Things visible are passing away, so that soon you'll have to learn to live by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. The more you look in these last days, the less you will see. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 to 16. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. I'm starting in verse 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, verse 13, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame is be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Verse 14, follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. If you are in the flesh for long periods, then repent deeply. All sin is now condemned in the flesh. Romans 8 and verse 3. For the bride to make herself ready, she needs to be strong in the grace. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1. As pressure is increasing, faith is like a muscle that you have to keep using. Love is not just for those who love you. Spiritual things that you do not pursue will become lame in your life if you keep making excuses for walking in the lust of your flesh. In his household, you will experience conviction and correction so that you won. Experience healing and restoration too, on a straight path of righteousness. Number two, see the Lord following peace and holiness, which comes from pursuing many things, including righteousness. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11. Number three, look diligently into the perfect law of liberty, James 1:25, and find grace instead of God resisting you, James 4:6. God is not the problem. He has the plan. You came to serve and glorify God in complicated situations. In the household of God, you have the possibility to hear, trust, and obey God in all areas if you are born again. In the Spirit, you will not be looking for food or other resources all day long like Esau. You are a new creation in Christ. Everything Jesus created the first time has no expiry date on it, because it's not corrupt. Genesis 1:31. The only way you can be sure Christ is being formed in you is through regular conviction and correction. If you do not like a lot of correction and conviction over smaller issues, then repent deeply next time and get to the root issues. Jesus was speaking in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13:6-9. I'm reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, starting in verse 6. He spoke also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Verse 7. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? Verse 8. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. Verse 9. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Are you producing the peaceable fruit of righteousness? Hebrews 12:11. Everyone submitted to God has the ability to produce the fruits of the Spirit consistently, in the good times and the bad times. Those hearing the good news and not making excuses about becoming a new creation through deep repentance can be grafted in. Romans 11:21-22. You may even lose your place in his vineyard if you do not produce the right fruit. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4:17-19. This is 1 Peter 4. I'm reading verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Verse 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Only the narrow way leads to life, because it will prepare you for the unexpected. You may be a church member for years, but if you do not have a personal, intimate relationship and obey the gospel of God under pressure, you can be left outside. Luke 13:24-25. As the pressure increases, the uncompromisingly righteous in the household of God are holy, because they're working out their salvation in fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12. God is going to clean up his house before the final judgment. Jesus is faithful because he is submitted to the Father, who knows why you were sent here at this time. Hebrews 12:8-10. Paul wrote this in Romans 14:17-18. This is in the book of Romans 14. I'm starting at verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 18. For he that is in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. There's no reason to be without joy if you're doing God's perfect will. You will also have peace on this earth, unless you become Lord of your own life again. Traditionally, seraphim among the hierarchy of angels next to the throne of God cry, Holy, holy. They have 6 wings, 1 pair for flying, another for covering the face, and a 3rd pair covering the feet. Isaiah 6:2. In complicated situations, you only need 3 things to serve God acceptably on earth, if you have the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Servants in his right hand experience joy in his presence and pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16 in verse 11. Man was created in the image of God to do his perfect will every day by following his instructions. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Christ is the perfect example. You belong to him through creation and redemption. So why are you not using what God provided to do the will of God in your own life? Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 34. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things. Verse 34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Doubts come from listening to your own flesh. How are you ready for heaven if you cannot take thoughts captive, 2 Corinthians 10:5, now, and obey God in the small things through obedience to the Spirit? If you're not submitted to God's plan, passing through some tribulation now, how will you share in his glory at the end of your life? Jesus is living proof that you can seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first without thinking about your personal needs. You're either ignorant through listening to the flesh or a wicked and lazy servant, Matthew 25, 26 to 30. After 2,000 years, many have already come to repentance, even though they were rebellious, wicked, and lazy before. Heaven is endured a long, unnecessary war with the devil and his angels that the Father could have ended a long time ago. The war was just to give more people time to make up their minds who they will serve. Choose wisely and repent deeply if necessary. Romans 6:23. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 13 to 16. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6. Starting in verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. Which in his times he will show. Who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords? Verse 16. Who only have immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honour and power everlasting. Amen. Jesus is faithfully following God's plan, even today. Are you prepared to walk by faith and deal with your flesh, rising up every so often? If your flesh is comfortable, you are listening to the devil, standing on your own righteousness and earthly wisdom. God can show to the rest of the world that Jesus is King of Kings if you let him do this in your own life through a good confession. His purpose will not be fulfilled in your life unless you deny yourself consistently, as the flesh is selfish and cowardly. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. This is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I'm reading verse 6. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You do not have to wait. If you believe with your whole heart, by faith, submit yourself to God and obey his instructions. Those with just a small amount of faith are coming to God through Jesus Christ to get the help they need, Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Anything that cannot function with Jesus in control has no value in the kingdom of heaven. Anything not Christ-like will be cast into outer darkness. If you diligently seek him now, while you are alive with grace and truth, you'll be rewarded with a position in his kingdom later. We read in Isaiah chapter 53, I'm reading verses 6 to 10. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, starting in verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Verse 9. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he has done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. God tested his own son, who kept following instructions, even unto death, to fulfill his calling on earth as the Saviour of the world. Everything will be tested to make sure you can follow his instructions under some pressure while you're still alive. Grace and truth is available for the pure-hearted who want to repent deeply. The Jews following Christ, like sheep through the letter of the law, went astray and did not ask God more questions about how to obey perfectly when convicted. The church today prefers an academic or systematic approach to learning. Those who use their minds trying to come to the truth have gone astray like sheep. John 16 and verse 13. They are wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked. Revelation 3 and verse 17. Anyone that does not see conviction as a blessing needs eye salver. Jesus is the head of his house, and the pleasure of the Lord will be done through him, because he obeyed perfectly. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 12, starting in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not contaminate your spiritual life by accepting his permissible will when you are under pressure. Paul wrote a long letter to the church in Rome with familiar terms, but the church was asleep. Romans 13 and verse 11. Those seeking righteousness in these last days will grow quickly if you become a living sacrifice. The humble will get more grace to prove God's perfect will in complicated situations. They even learn perfect obedience when they fail and will not come under condemnation. We read in John chapter 10, verses 24 to 28. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 10, I'm reading verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Verse 26. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. His sheep can recognize the right voice from many experiences. Follow and do not listen to another voice. John 10, verses 4 and 5. The Jews thought they were sheep, but they were too comfortable. They could not recognize Jesus was the Messiah through him doing the works of his father in many towns with little or no resources. Only sheep obeying God, using the gift of eternal life, will never perish. Lambs make noises, complain, and talk about others instead when things are not going well. They're short-sighted, foolish, earthly-minded, political, often need food and think too much. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 32. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Do not ask God to be on your side or help you. Instead, change sides by humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. By abiding in Christ, you will become like Christ, eventually through love. Feed the flesh through lust, and you become like the devil who rebelled against the plan God had for him. Pride filled the devil's heart. Ezekiel 28 and verse 17. And the same can happen to you if you think that your faith does not need purifying. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 3, and I'm reading verse 4. For every house is builded by some man, but he that builds all things is God. Verse 5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which are to be spoken after. Moses was the head of the house for the Jews. Hebrews 3 and verse 5. However, a whole generation perished in the wilderness, except Caleb and Joshua, because they did not repent deeply. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 to 11. Moses started leading when he was 80. He was faithful when the Jews entered the wilderness and also when they started complaining. Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. Numbers 12 and verse 3. But he did not follow all the instructions exactly at the very end. How you finish is more important than how you start. Paul wrote this in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 6. I'm reading to verse 14. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 6. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today if you will hear his voice, verse 8, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. Verse 9. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Verse 11. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you having an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. The word rest in Strong's is number 2663. It comes from another word meaning reposing down, that is, by Hebrew, abode or rest. Those on the winning side steadfastly ask God, Jesus the Master Builder, and those delivered by following his instructions have an eternal hope from complicated situations today. If you need something, you can rely on God for sure. However, do not just take a rest because you're tired. You will have to learn to obey when you're tired at some point. Thinking is dangerous. You are not trusting God if you're still leaning to your own understanding. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. You should be getting your rest and support from his kingdom. Under the new covenant, you only need to hear, trust, and obey the Holy Spirit consistently. The pressure will increase gradually, and he knows you better than you know yourself, and what you can and cannot do by faith. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'm reading verse 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Timothy was ashamed of the Lord's testimony. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 8. He expected something better for Paul at the end of his life than wearing chains. Mark 10, 29 to 30. Timothy could not see that Paul being in prison caused him to write many letters to the churches. These letters have benefited the church for thousands of years until this day. Paul got an amazing reward for being very patient. Are you happy with all the decisions the Lord has made in your life? Have you judged God during a period of suffering? Are you confident in his ability to raise you up at the right time since you accepted Christ? Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 6 to 10. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. I'm reading verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 8. Wherefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Verse 10. And he that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. If Christ is consistently dwelling in your heart by faith, then the Father is there also. John 14 and verse 23. Jesus and the Father are one. John 10 and verse 30. If you listen to the flesh, you are serving the devil. The Holy Spirit living in you has the mind and heart of the Father. The Spirit intercedes for you to accept conviction and process truth without using your mind. Only those obeying the truth have the assurance that they will ascend out of humble circumstances through deep repentance. James wrote in James chapter 4 and verse 4. This is in the book of James chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Some have to descend first to complete their salvation. At that point, you might run to the world when that starts happening. If you've exalted yourself, this only causes a delay. If you've already been humbled, then you can begin where you are now and learn to trust and obey in humble circumstances. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Hebrews 3, verses 12 to 14 says, therefore, be aware, brethren, take care, lest there be in any one of you a wicked and unbelieving heart which refuses to cleave to, trust in, and rely on him, leading you to turn away and desert or stand aloof from the living God. but instead warn, admonish, and urge and encourage one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened into settled rebellion by the deceitfulness of sin, by the fraudulence, the stratagem, the trickery which the delusive glamour of his sin may play up on him. For we have become fellows with Christ, the Messiah, and share in all he has for us, if only we hold our first newborn confidence, an original assured expectation in virtue of which we are believers, firm and unshaken to the end. In these last days, I've heard many famous preachers say from the pulpit, God has given you a brain and expects you to use it. This is not the truth. As soon as you start using your mind to make decisions, you are not like Christ and have entered the devil's house. You have committed spiritual adultery, provided for yourself through earthly wisdom, and judged God as being unfaithful. Repent deeply. James 4, verses 5 to 8. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 6. I'm reading in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Verse 4, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Verse 5, and have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 2, Go Back to the Garden, on pages 36 and 37, Joseph Edgecott writes, Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. He decides where you fit in the body of Christ. You do not decide for yourself. Regardless of where you fit in his body, Christ is the head. Colossians 1 and verse 18. If he is not the head, authority, you cannot function in his body as you should. Stop and meditate on this. You're not a viable part of Christ's body if he is not your head and in complete control. If he is not your Lord, you cannot abide in the kingdom of God. Your lordship moves you out of Christ's nature because in the flesh you are the head. Abiding in God's kingdom is not automatic at salvation. Kingdom living has nothing to do with spiritual maturity. It has to do with where you are, in the kingdom or in the flesh. Only in the kingdom can you be righteous and produce godly fruit. Jesus is the head. In God's house, correction comes from the top down, not from the below up. You must maintain that order, even if this seems unfair. 1 Peter 2, verse 18. Have you been corrected or chastened recently? If not, then Jesus may not be the author of your faith. If you do not listen, trust, and obey consistently, will you now finish what he started without him? Galatians 3, verses 1 to 3. Christ let himself be crucified when he could have asked for thousands of angels to attend him, but did not. Jesus told in John 15, verses 1 and 2. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 15, I'm starting in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 2, Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. The word husbandman in Strong's is number 1092. It comes from another two words, and it means a land worker, that is a farmer. Our energy comes from making Jesus Lord of all. Jesus is the true vine because he is submitted to God, who is the gardener. You cannot push fruit out. It will be produced if you are not lazy and repent, especially when your fruit is pruned. If you're getting frustrated or easily offended producing fruit, then you are building your own kingdom. Submitted to God's plan, it's easy. And you get extra grace to stop sinning and complaining. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22, I'm reading to verse 29. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26. And every one that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Verse 28. And it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Verse 29. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The Romans destroyed Solomon's temple in AD 70 when the last of the religious Jews accepted through conviction that they were blind and had killed their own Messiah. Before being destroyed, every measurement in the temple was there for everyone to see that its designer and maker is God. Can someone also say that about your life and character? You may look good outwardly to others, but following your own plan, avoiding submission to authority, you're like a lone ranger. Leaders in the church at the end will be condemned by Jesus for making excuses and working hard to deceive others while resisting correction themselves. If you are saying bad words under pressure or complaining about your spouse or your daily circumstances, you are not qualified to teach. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 1 to 6. I'm reading 1 Peter chapter 3 starting in verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Verse 2. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. Verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Verse 5. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Verse 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. A wedding is being prepared for those who have made themselves ready through trials and difficulties today. You cannot honour Christ as the head of the house if you still do those things that offend the Holy Spirit within. We are now temples of the Holy Spirit since being born again. 1 Corinthians 3:16 to 17. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Peter 3:1 to 6 says, "In like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands, subordinate yourselves as being secondary to and dependent on them, and adapt yourselves to them, so that even if any do not obey the word of God, they may be won over, not by discussion, but by the godly lives of their wives, when they observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourselves, together with your reverence for your husband. You are to feel for him all that reverence includes, to respect, defer to, revere him, to honour, esteem, appreciate, prize, and in the human sense to adore him, that is, to admire, praise, and be devoted to, deeply love and enjoy your husband. Let not yours be the merely external adorning with elaborate interweaving and knotting of the hair, the wearing of jewelry or changes of clothes, but let it be the inward adorning and beauty of the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible and unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is not anxious or wrought up, but is very precious in the sight of God. For it was thus that the pious women of old, who hoped in God, were accustomed to beautify themselves and were submissive to their husbands, adapting themselves to them as themselves secondary and dependent upon them. It was thus that Sarah obeyed Abraham, following his guidance and acknowledging his headship over her by calling him Lord, Master, Leader, Authority. And you are now her true daughters, if you do right and let nothing terrify you, not giving away to hysterical fears or letting anxieties unnerve you. With grace and truth, you can complete your salvation and get your faith working properly under pressure. Use every opportunity in life, even those situations that unnerve you. If you are under a forward authority, you can grow quickly." 1 Peter 2 and verse 18. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1, I'm reading to verse 9. This is 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. "This is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work." Verse 2. "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of but one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach." Verse 3. "Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy or filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous." Verse 4. "One that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity." Verse 5. "For if a man knows not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" Verse 6. "Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil." Verse 7. "Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." Verse 8. "Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given too much wine, not greedy for filthy lucre." Verse 9. "Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience." In the Message Bible, 1 Timothy 3, 1-7 says, "If anyone wants to provide leadership in the church, good. But there are preconditions. A leader must be well thought of, committed to his wife, cool and collected, accessible and hospitable. He must know what he's talking about, not be over fond of wine, not pushy but gentle, not thin-skinned, not money-hungry. He must handle his own affairs well, attentive to his own children and having their respect. For if someone is unable to handle his own affairs, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a new believer, lest the position go to his head and the devil trip him up. Outsiders must think well of him, or else the devil will figure out a way to lure him into his trap. You're not supposed to walk alone without a leader that God appoints in your life. Paul described a bishop as someone that is able to win respect. Do the people around you always give you respect? If not, why not? The source of that respect should come from the fact that you are making no excuses for doing what the Lord tells you to do in complicated situations consistently under pressure. This way, your righteousness will always exceed theirs, as God's ways are higher than man's ways, than the heavens are above the earth. Isaiah 55:8-9. Paul wrote in Titus chapter 1, starting in verse 1, I'm reading to verse 6. This is Titus chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Starting in verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Verse 3, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Saviour. Verse 4, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Saviour. Verse 5, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. Verse 6, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. The hope of eternal life is not for the lazy. You will not live forever unless you develop a habit now of acknowledging God in all your ways as the pressure increases. Heaven is perfect because God's will is done, whatever the cost. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number 1. What does the word household mean to you personally? Number 2. What evidence do you have that you are in the household of God personally? Number 3. Did you enter the narrow way personally the first time you heard the gospel? And if not, what stopped you from seeking it after you were born again? If you want to get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make him Lord and live in the light, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good and is signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning, good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Gilded Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've shared a message about the household of God. The spiritually lazy rely on the internet to do what others do in this world. Their lives are comfortable, but they remain ignorant as they refuse to believe God's ways are higher than man's ways. You may be calling Jesus Lord, but your faith can become hypocritical through a fear of suffering or the narrow way. The devil is still running around so that you have no advantage over Adam and Eve. You were blind, wretched, naked, and miserable before you came to Christ. In this world now, you have to become humble to accept his calling on your life. True riches come from asking God consistently. You get a front row seat in his kingdom to hear, trust, and obey like a little child If you're asking God every step of the way, you know you're close to home. If you have an unbelieving heart now, after hearing this message, please repent. God wants you in his household. Father, I pray for the people who are listening to this message, that you have spoken many things to them. As they process this, I pray for them that they will not process it with their minds, but they will do it with you. And through that, come to the real reason why they've been serving two masters. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you and look forward to hearing from you.